Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say that our literacy rate here in the congregation is pretty much 100%. So that means you can read about all the things that are happening at the congregation during this Lenten season on the back of your bulletin. And I'm not going to bore you with stuff that you can read about, except to say Ash Wednesday is this Wednesday. Lent begins this week. Kids, can you believe it? No, big eyes. They can't believe it. I can't believe it. But Ash Wednesday is at 6 o'clock right here in this very room this coming Wednesday. That means Lent begins that day. It's time for us to start considering our Lenten disciplines. Read all about what's happening here at the church during Lent on the back of your bulletins. Let's prepare our hearts for the worship of Almighty God.
Thank you.
We call ourselves to worship with Psalm 99. The Lord is King, let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim, let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion, he is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. Mighty King, a lover of justice, you have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Extol the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Let us pray. Lord, we come into this sanctuary to praise and extol your name. We come to give all honor and glory to you. We pray that in our worship, in our prayers, in our singing, that you would be glorified. And it is in your name that we pray. Amen. Now let us confess before God and before one another our sin. Your confession of prayer is written in our bulletins and on the screen. Please join me. Holy God, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, Today we confess that we rarely treat people as we wish to be treated. We choose anger over kindness. We choose racism over love. We choose greed over charity. We choose selfishness over compassion. Forgive us, we pray, O Lord. Help us to be transformed through the powerful teachings of Christ and the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I offer to you again the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said, "I did not come for those who are well. I came for the sick and for the sinner." Jesus Christ came into this world for you and for me. Know that it is his work in your life that forgives you of your sin and now calls you to be people of peace. Let's sing to God's glory.
May be seated. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture today comes from the 7th chapter of Matthew. We will be reading verses 1 through 14. I'll give you a heads up. Jesus takes a bit of a shotgun approach here. You're going to get a lot of little, short, distinct sayings. We're going to focus on the last one. So this is chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. "Do not judge, so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, 'Let me take that speck out of your eye,' while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them underfoot and turn and maul you. Ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow, and the road is hard, that leads to life, and there are few who find it." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So one day, a long time ago, I was walking into the forest and looking back fondly on the nice, comfortable van that we were leaving behind. The van had soft seats, and it had air conditioning and heating, and it had a radio, and the forest I was walking into had none of those things. Why was I doing this, you might ask yourselves? Well, it's because I had agreed to take a class in seminary called Adventures in Wilderness Spirituality. Now let me ask you this. When someone asks you to do something way in advance, do you often say yes? And then when it gets closer, you think to yourself, why did I say yes to this? That's what happened to me. This class I had signed up for in the fall of 1999, and it happened in the summer of 2000. And it was a lot of reading, and then 2 weeks in New Mexico and Colorado, the final week being backpacking out in the wilderness of the Rocky Mountains. It sounded great in like November of 1999, but by the summer, as I was walking away from the van, carrying my 40 pounds of stuff on my back, heading into the mountains for a week, I was thinking to myself, why did I do this? Why did I choose to walk down this path and not stay back at the van? Better yet, why did I not even sign up for this class? But it was too late. There was only one way to go, so I walked off into the woods. At the end of this passage, as we near the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he presents us with two ways, two paths, two trails to walk. One's easy and one's hard. And he tells us that one is the bad way and one is the good way, the Jesus way. I think it's important, as we think about this metaphor that he gives us here in this passage, it's important to remember that early Christians weren't called Christians. Christianity wasn't called Christianity at the very beginning. It was called the way. So our faith has always been something that we have considered as a path, as a journey, as a pilgrimage, as something you walk. So it makes sense then that Jesus would offer us this image of the two gates. And I want you to think about them in this way. The easy gate. Picture a nice, big, broad gate. Not one of the swinging gates, but a city gate. Something that would have entered one of the old cities through the walls. A big, broad gate. The doors are beautiful wood, and they're open for you, and you just walk right in. And as you walk into the city, you see a beautiful, easy, wide road ahead of you. There's shops and stalls on each side. The road is flat and paved, and you can simply walk along it at whatever pace you choose at your heart's content. If you get tired, there's a place for you to sit at almost every stop. There's people who will serve you food and drinks. The entire path is easy, simple, clear, wide, and comfortable. That's the path that leads to death. But there's another path. Picture this gate. You're leaving the city. And this gate was built entirely too small. It's too low. It's too narrow. So you can't even walk through it without contorting your body. You have to stoop and slide just to get through the gate. And then once you have made it through the gate, you look at the path that lies ahead. Behind you is the city full of its comforts, but ahead of you is a path that looks completely inhospitable. It is barren, sandy, dry, and rocky. There's no water to be seen, no trees for shade. The sun beats down upon it. All you see is the signs of the wind blowing across the path. The path itself is not flat at all. It immediately starts to ascend, and you watch as the path disappears into distant mountains, shrouded in cloud and foreboding. In the distance, you hear the sound of wolves howling. This is the path that leads to life. So, when I was walking into the woods, I had a good idea that this was going to be a challenging week. And guess what? I was wrong. It was even more than that. So one of the things our professor had told us before we began, he said, you're going to be hiking for a week at altitude. You're going to be carrying 40 pounds of weight on your back and your backpacks. Guess what he told us to do ahead of time? Exercise, right? Seems very logical. So there were 8 students on this journey. There was our professor and there were 2 guides. It turned out that only about 5 to 6 of the students, including me, had actually done any exercising. So about 3 hours into the 7-day hike, I didn't have 40 pounds on my back. I had 60 because I had to carry some of the stuff for the people that hadn't exercised. If someone tells you to exercise before you go backpacking, please do it for the sake of those you are walking with. That's just a PSA. That's not related to the sermon in any way. That's 3 hours in, but we hiked straight up. We climbed for 3 days in the Rocky Mountains. Every single day, we would find some sort of valley or flat plain where we would sleep, and then the next day, back up. Every single day, all the weight on our backs, because of course it's the beginning of the week, up, up, up we go, until finally we level out above treeline and we set up our tents for the night, and what should befall us? A thunderstorm. And not just any thunderstorm, a severe thunderstorm, where there's no trees, nothing for cover of any kind. We had to huddle at the corner of our tent so that the tent wouldn't get blown away. We had to make sure that our weight was distributed in such a way that the wind would not take the tent and blow it further up the mountain. It was that kind of storm. Then we do this, and we walk along for a while, and we come to something called a knife's edge. Like, does that sound appealing? Not terribly, right? A knife's edge. We come along to the knife's edge, and it's a wide path, but then just to the right, it goes like straight down. So if you drift, if you're not paying attention, it's gonna be a bad day. Probably the last day. Definitely a bad day. Now, one of our number had not had enough water the day before, and so she got altitude sickness. And the way this presented was with panic and paranoia. And so she freaked out, and we had to coax her all the way along the knife's edge because she was just sure she was going to fall off. I mean, this thing was like 15 feet wide. You weren't going to fall off of it. And yet, that's where we were. Then, near the end of the hike, we were supposed to have a 24-hour solo period where we were put off into various spots around a large clearing in the mountains, but there weren't enough tents for everybody, so most of us just had a tarp. And guess what? It rained all night long, and we made a little burrito for ourselves and put ourselves as the stuffing in the burrito, and the tortilla was the tarp, and we just laid in there for the whole night as it rained. It was a long, hard walk. That's the narrow gate. We have to understand that what Jesus is laying out for us here is a promise. And the promise is this, that if we are to truly follow the Jesus way, if we are to truly follow the Jesus way, it will be difficult. It will be difficult. It will be very, very hard. Do you remember how we started this sermon series with the Beatitudes? Remember those? And there were four of them, half of them, that were things that we were supposed to do. Be merciful. Be pure in heart. Be a peacemaker. Be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Let me ask you this. Do any of those things sound easy? Any of them? Have you ever tried to be truly merciful to someone who had deeply wronged you? Have you ever tried to show mercy? I bet a lot of you have. Was it easy to do that? What about to make peace? Have you ever had two family members who were fighting with each other and you tried to step in and be the peacemaker and you had to be brave and bold and you had to risk them then getting mad at you? Was that easy? Was it simple? Was it nice and pristine and paved? It is hard. Christianity, the Jesus way, is desperately difficult. So why do it? I'm not doing a very good job of selling Christianity to you, am I? Luckily, you're already committed, basically. So why do it? So I was up in the mountains, and you know, we'd climbed and climbed and climbed. We were already really high. And our professor says to us, you know, if you want to, it's about a 45-minute hike up that trail, and you'll get to a beautiful peak of this mountain. I mean, in for a penny, in for a pound, right? So about half of us, the ones who had exercised before the trip, go tearing off up the trail. And at this point, it was not even that difficult. We'd been at altitude for a long time. But anyway, we go tearing up there, and we get to the summit of this mountain. And you guys, I have never seen anything like this in my life. Not before, not since. I was sitting there at the very top of this mountain, and they have a little jar, and there's a piece of paper in it on every summit in Colorado, and you can write your name on the piece of paper to say, I made it to the summit of this mountain. And I'm looking out, and I'm looking down on practically every mountain that I can see around me. And I'm sitting up there, and there's birds circling in the sky above me. It's a crystal blue sky. The wind is going through my hair, and I just sit there, and I think about where I am and what I can see, and it is amazing. I mean, I've driven through the mountains before, I've ridden horses in the mountains before, but I've never seen anything like this. And then a few days later, after that knife's edge that I was telling you about, we came out and it flattened around and we turned a corner, and there was the most glorious mountain lake. You've never seen water this clear. It was so clear, and it was tucked in between the peaks of two mountains. There was snow on the saddle between the two peaks. And we all just sat down, threw off our backpacks, laid back next to the lake, and let the sun wash over us. It was one of the best feelings I've ever had in my life. It was an incredibly difficult week, an incredibly challenging week. But let me tell you, the views were amazing. They were amazing. You want to talk about why? You want to talk about why we should go through the narrow gate, why we should walk the difficult path? The views on that path are amazing. Those moments that we have in our lives where our faith truly comes alive and comes into alignment with our actions and our behaviors, those moments where we truly have the opportunity to show mercy to someone else and have the wherewithal and the spiritual strength to do it, those moments where we actually are part of making peace and not part of making war, those moments where we actually put something at risk for righteousness' sake, those moments, there's nothing like those moments. There is nothing like those moments. Have you had those? Have they happened to you before? You still remember them. Even if it was 10 years ago, or 30 years ago, or 60 years ago, you still remember those moments. Those moments when you turn the corner on that hard, difficult, rocky path, the Jesus path, the way of your faith, and there was the view. When it all made sense in your life and in the lives of the people around you and the people that you loved and the people that you care about. That week in Colorado, that was the summer of 2000. It was 22 and a half years ago, and I remember so much stuff from that week. I have lived a lot of weeks since then. Can I tell you anything about them? No. But that week I can still tell you a dozen things about. Because it was hard. And it was difficult. And I didn't have to do it, but I did do it. And the views were amazing. The easy road that unfurls before us every single morning when we get out of bed, that is the road of spiritual death. It is the road of spiritual death. It looks so easy. It looks so appealing. It looks so comfortable. But don't ever confuse it with the Jesus way. The Jesus way is hard. It looks foreboding. You wonder to yourself how you could do it. You wonder to yourself why you'd even bother to want to do it. But that is the road that leads to life. That is the road where you love your enemies. That's the road where you pray for those who persecute you. That's the road where your yes always means yes and your no always means no. That's the road where you know how to pray. That's the road where you set aside what you're worried about today and you trust that the God who has been here the whole time is with you yet. That's that road. It is hard. It is difficult. It is foreboding. It is the road of life. And the views, you guys, the views on that road are amazing. Amen.
In our prayers today, we will want to remember Lynn Snyder and her family. These flowers are from Jim's memorial service that was here yesterday. And so we will remember that family in our prayers today. There will be an opportunity for us all to lift up joys and concerns in the prayer. So let's pray together. Lord, you tell us to follow you, and we want to follow you, though we know we need your work. We need your leading. We need the strength of your spirit. And so we pray for those things this day, for we want to walk in your way. We ask for every gift of your Holy Spirit, for love and joy, peace, patience. We ask for kindness and goodness, faithfulness and self-control, every gift, Lord, we ask for so that we can serve in your name. We offer our prayers this day for the world that we know you love. We pray for people all around the world today who are struggling, all the way from the Ukraine to New Zealand to Turkey and Syria. We pray for your peace, which surpasses all our understanding. We pray for your peace in those places. And we pray for our own country, our own region, our own neighborhood. Lord, you know our needs. We offer to you now prayers for Jim Snyder's family in their grief. And we pray both aloud and in the silence of our hearts for particular people and situations. Lord, hear our prayers. Lord, we offer to you prayers even for ourselves. Help us to follow you. That is our prayer. Help us to follow you this day and tomorrow and the day after that. It is in your holy name that we offer this prayer, and we pray as Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Offering baskets are at the entrances and by the lectern if you'd like to give an offering following worship. For now, this offering of music is to the glory of God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, we offer our gifts to you in time and talent, energy and effort. And we pray that you would make our entire lives a holy offering to you. It is in your name that we offer this prayer and that we ask you to take us from this place in your name. Amen.
You may be seated, and I'm going to invite Jane and Kay, and then our elder Jan Steck to come forward because we have new members. Yay! You got to go up there so that they can hear you.
On behalf of the session, I present Kay Ladd and Jane Honley, who have been received into the membership of First Presbyterian Church. Deborah Thames and Dennis Goswick were received at day one service.
Jane and Kay, you come to us as members of the one holy Catholic Church into which you were baptized and by which you have been nurtured. We are one with each other, sisters and brothers in the family of God. We rejoice in the gifts you bring to us. As you join with us in worship and service of this congregation, it is fitting that you reaffirm the covenant into which we are baptized, claiming again our promises of God, which are ours in baptism. So I have questions for you now. Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? Do you? Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior, trusting in his grace and love? Do you? Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love? Will you? One final question. You've publicly professed your faith. Will you be a faithful member of this congregation? Share in its worship and ministry, through your prayers and gifts, your study and service, and so fulfill your calling as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Will you?
Let us pray. Holy God, we praise you for calling us to be a servant people and for gathering us into the body of Christ. We thank you for choosing to add to our number of brothers and sisters in faith. Together, may we live in your spirit, and so love one another that we may have the mind of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom we give honor and glory forever. Amen. We are grateful for the gifts Kay and Jane bring to this congregation. Let's welcome them with a big round of applause.
Yay! And let's stand and sing our final hymn.
Thank you.
And now, my friends, may the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you. Share Christ's peace with one another.